All right, good morning. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, I'll get there in a second. How many people in this room believe I have $100 in my pocket to give to every single person here? Raise your hand. Wow. How many believe I have $50 to give to every person in this room? Wow, okay. You guys have a lot of faith in me. How many believe I have $20 to give to everybody in this room? How many believe I have $10 to give to everybody in this room? Wow, there's more hands. How many believe $5 to have? All right, how many believe I have $1 to give everybody in this room? All right, I do. So put your hands up. Put your hands up. Wow, I had less faith in you than I thought. Anthony, come here. Keep your hands up. Come here, Anthony. Give a dollar to everybody who had their hands up. If you didn't get your dollar, we'll make sure that we get you a dollar. So if you didn't, just come and see me. Now, I just did that as a funny illustration to say this. If you believed that I would give you $100, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be blessed. But if you didn't believe, you're not getting a dollar. Now, that's just a silly illustration. But what I'm about to say, if you don't believe it, there's going to be some greater consequences. But if you do believe it, you're going to be blessed in this life and the life to come. So I want to do two things this morning. If you don't know Jesus personally as your Savior, people say, what does that mean? It means you've turned from what you're trusting in, your sin, and you're turning to Jesus. You have to do that. It's a conscious decision to do that. And as a believer, I want your faith to increase. It's just not a bunch of knowledge about Christ. You say, I already believe in the resurrection. I know what you're going to say, Pastor. Your faith has to be strong every day. And it will be seen in your life by the joy, by the love you give out to other people. It'll be seen in the fruit of the Spirit. So you could say, I know all this information, but if you're not loving the people next to you, you're not excited about Jesus, telling people about Christ, your faith is weak today, and I'm going to help you. I want you to walk out of here as a Christian with strong faith. That's my goal. So Jesus told his disciples, I will be spit, mocked upon, beaten, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to resurrect on the third day. But they didn't believe him. And there were some consequences because of that. That's my first part of the message that I'm going to look at. When you really truly believe in the resurrected Christ and about 30,000 promises of the Bible, your faith will be strong, and you will have joy no matter what's happening. Now, in this room, there's a lot of things going on in your life. I get it. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's work, finances, health, whatever. Those things are going to come in our life. But if you have strong faith during that time, you will march on with victory. But if your faith is weak, you're going to be miserable, and you're going to make other people miserable around you. So let me throw up a scripture for you in Mark chapter 10, verse 33 and 34. This is the third time Jesus said this to them. He said this, saying, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Remember, the Romans had the only authority to kill someone. Look at verse 34. And they shall mock him, they shall scourge him, they shall spit upon him. They shall kill him. And on the third day, he shall rise again. So he told them exactly what would happen. But at first, they didn't believe. And then it resulted in some consequences, if you will, or some mindsets. And I want to show you those. So my time frame here is Jesus rose from the dead, but no one saw him yet. They will see the empty tomb, but they didn't see him yet. So that's the time frame I'm looking at first. So the first thing, you're taking notes. What's the result of not believing in the words of the resurrected Christ? The first one is confusion. Look at Luke 24, look at verse 1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, we know that's Sunday, very early in the morning. So he arose. Remember, the Jews had sundown to sundown. So it would be our Saturday night, right, after 12. So they went from 6 p.m. to, say, 6 p.m., right? So during that time, kind of would be our Saturday night, but before the morning came, he rose from the dead. Okay? It says, they came unto him with skeptics, bringing the spices which had been prepared, and a certain others with him. And they found the stone. Remember, those types of stone you had to bend down. They say it was about a couple of tons. You'll see the angels will move it. Men weren't going to move it. And then it says, verse 3, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed. And that word means confused. They're about, behold, two men, talking about the angels. Remember, don't get confused by that. Matthew, Mark said there was one angel, these are two. It's just more information. It's not a contradiction. Stood by them in shining garments. So that word again means doubt, means they were confused. Because they chose not to believe, it brings confusion in your life. And when you and I have little faith, even as a Christian, at that moment, when your faith is weak, you're going to start doubting and you're going to be confused in your life of what to do, what decisions to make. So unbelief brings confusion and instability. And here's the verse, James 1:8 says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when your faith and my faith is lacking, our ways are going to be unstable. We're going to make wrong decisions. But when your faith is strong, it's the opposite. You're going to have stability and direction in your life. Let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know them well. Trust. And that idea is have confidence in the Lord with all thine heart and lean. That means supporting yourself, not unto thy own wisdom. So when our faith is strong, we go into the Word of God. When our faith is weak, we go to human logic and understanding. And then it says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. What does that mean? You're putting your faith in the Word of God. And then what's going to happen? He shall direct thy path. So in everything in our life right now, I don't know what you're going through, go back to the Word of God, put your faith in that, and do that. Don't do what you think is best for your relationships, for your finances, for whatever it is. Go back to the Word of God and say, I'm going to do what that says. I'm going to put my faith in that. If you start using human wisdom, it's going to lead to a bad path. So I just want you to think in your own life, where is your faith? Is it truly in God with all thine heart? Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit. It means actually to roll upon. Again, believe in God's ways, thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, when I put our faith in the Word of God and who he is, then you're going to think right. I'm going to think right. So many today don't believe personally in Jesus Christ, and their life is confused. How many remember Pete Maravich? Pete Maravich, I believe he was the first, I could be wrong, you can Google it, not now. You can, he has, I think he was the first NBA player to make $1 million, but in college, his record of scoring is incredible. And he said in his life, he searched for everything to try to find meaning in life. And he went to karate, he went to meditation, you go do his testimony. He went to everything possible that you could go to, and he was unfulfilled, and then he accepted Jesus Christ. And you go listen to his testimony, he witnessed a bunch of people. And the crazy thing about this is, he was playing a pickup game with some Christians, and he dropped dead. I don't know how many years after he got saved, maybe it's 5, I can't remember. He dropped dead, and they did an autopsy, and they found one of his major heart arteries wasn't even there. And he played basketball all those years. So listen, if you're not saved here, you will be confused of what's life all about. But as a Christian, I can keep going back and forth. As a Christian, when our faith is not strong, we will be confused. And we'll go back to the world to try to find, and we'll never find it. So please, I'm going to show you how your faith can get strong. We're going to get to that in a minute. So the second thing I see is they were controlled by fear. We're going to throw the scripture up. I'm not going to have you turn all these past. John 20, verse 19. So Jesus appears to the 10 he's going to appear to them. But this is right before that. John 20, 19 says this, "Then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews." And now the rest of the verse will say he's going to come. But stop before that. They were fearful before they saw the resurrected Christ. Now, the disciples feared that the same thing that happened to Jesus is going to happen to us if we connect with him. We don't want that. They were fearful. They had no faith. Somebody sent to me yesterday, you know, Jesus died, and then Saturday is called silence. Like, there's a day in between. Why didn't he just, you know, die and then 6 hours later resurrect? It was like this silent period. And sometimes we're in those silent periods of life where nothing seems to be changing. Nothing, like, we have our faith in God, but look, Lord, what's going on here? But as somebody preached one time, it's Friday, but Sundays are coming. It's those times we got to keep our faith in what the Word of God says. Don't go by experience. I've seen in my life as a pastor, people who are Christians, when difficulties come, if they don't stick to the Word, they begin to compromise the truth. And they now try to make everybody happy in their life instead of sticking to the Word. When you stick to the Word, I was telling somebody this the other day. I said, it's not easy being a preacher. You just got to preach the truth, whether it's right. Just like as a parent, you got to stand up and say, this is, the kids aren't going to always like it. I'm giving a message sometimes that people do not want to hear. I'm not making this up. It's not easy to preach that if you reject Christ, you're going to go to hell for all eternity. I'd rather say, listen, everyone's going to heaven. But that's not the truth, right? God is just and holy, and someone's got to pay for sin. Either you pay for it or you accept him. So this fear controlled them. We know that fear brings bondage. The Bible says, Proverbs 29, 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, it actually means the Hebrew word like a trap or a noose around your neck. But whoso putteth his trust, again, there it is, that faith in the Lord shall be safe. I looked at the word safe. It actually has the idea of inaccessible, meaning if you put your faith in God, nothing can happen to you with God's protection. Whatever he wants to happen, that's what's going to happen. But you don't put your faith in him. We go outside of God's will and God's protection. Yeah, he's still sovereign. He could be merciful, but you go outside of God's word, you go out of God's protection. What he says in every area of life, if we go outside of that, we're no longer protected by God. Yeah, he could be merciful. I mean, thank God, I probably would be dead if it wasn't for the mercy of God. Don't get me wrong. But we can't play with the, you know, the Bible says, you know, should I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. There comes a point where God says that's enough. So they were fearful. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear hath torment. Just think how many times in your life that you were afraid of man in some situation, and then you made a decision based on that. It's wrong. Don't do it. Forget about what everybody thinks. I don't mean that in a negative sense, but like, let's say I'm going to follow God in this word and put faith in it. I don't care what everybody else says. Everybody thinks. You got to get to that point in your life. I remember when I first got saved, my family was like, well, are you crazy? You're following this Jesus? You know, because I was an all-out person. I was a bodybuilder. I was this. I do everything all out. Say, so, he's going through another phase. But then I realized it wasn't a phase. It was my life. And I'm not perfect, by the way, by any means. Every person knows there's eternity, because Ecclesiastes says that. The Bible says God has set eternity in every man's heart. Everybody knows there's something after this. They can reject that, but it's not the truth. They know there's something after that. And if a person does not believe inside, they know they're fearful of what's going to happen to me. My mother-in-law is here. I love her so much. She got saved. She professed Christ on the day I got ordained. Linda's father, when I first met Linda, he found out I was going to be a physical therapist. I was finishing up school, and her dad really liked me. And he's like, I won't say this in a bad sense, but some of the people said she went out before. He's like, this guy is stable. He's going to college. He's going to have a good job. He's going to take care of my daughter. He really liked me until I started talking about Jesus. And then later on, he would say to me, I wanted to punch you in the face when you were talking about Jesus. Long story short, Linda and I, at a time for about 10 years in life, we didn't have a TV. We just chose not to. I'm not saying it's right. You're more righteous, whatever. We just chose not to have a TV. So at Christmas Eve, we go over to his house. He bought a brand new TV. And he said, here's a TV for you. And I said, respectfully, I'm not going to take it. Because he thought, you know, Linda was going to eventually stop working. And you're not producing into society. He had this worldly mindset. Your kids are going to be social misfits and all this kind of stuff. Then he lost his job, and he was a VP in a bank. And he was broken. He came over to our house, and I was sharing the gospel again with him. He was a little softer, and he professed. I say the word profess because I don't know if anybody really gets saved or not. Only God does. Only time will tell, fruit in their life. I used to say saved, but I don't say that word anymore because I don't know. So anyway, long story short, he gets a better job, makes more money, and he was like, who is this Jesus? I don't care about Jesus. Not in those words, but in his life. So that was a false profession. And then about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, he came to an anniversary service, and we were preaching the gospel, and he stood up at the end and said, what must I do to be saved? And at that time, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were there, and he led him to Christ. Because he got cancer, and he knew his life was short now. And then we saw his life change. And the thing that he said, he goes, now I have peace where I know I'm going to go for eternity. Without Christ, you don't have that. You try to find it in other things, but deep down inside, you don't have that until you have salvation. So there's confusion. You're controlled by fear. The third thing is there's depression of the current situations. Go with me to Mark chapter 16 and look at verse 9. Again, I try to put all this together. I'm doing this quickly here, but there's a lot to this, but I was trying to condense it. Mark 16, and start in verse 9. It says this, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils or demons. Now, it's interesting. Why did he appear to her first? I think because, and by the way, anybody could get saved. Don't look at anybody and say, they're so far gone. This lady had seven demons inside of her. That means she was in satanic worship to some degree. She opened herself up to that. Anybody could get saved. Don't look at anybody you work with where you go and say, they're too wicked. You're wicked too. Reach them for Christ. Don't watch the news and say, oh, God can't. God's going to make everything right in the end. That's his job. Our job is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think because after she got saved, she was so dedicated to the Lord. I'm going to come to you, Mary, first. That's just my opinion. And then she went and told them, I don't know if it was just the 11, whoever she told, and been with him, and they mourned and wept. See, they were afraid. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, had been seen of her, believed not. They still didn't believe. They still didn't believe. They were depressed. Now listen, when you don't believe, when you look at your circumstances, even as a Christian, you just look at your circumstances, and you take God out of the equation, and your faith is weak, you're going to be desperate. You're going to feel hopeless. I met a man some years ago, and he was losing his family. He was smoking pot. His son came to me and said, can you talk to my dad? I said, of course. He came over to my place and in my office. I shared the gospel with him, and he professed Christ. He was a changed man. He went from faithless to faith. He's a strong man today. His name is Mike Northup Sr. Yeah. He's a faithful man today. He's a great guy. I love you, Mike. He's a great guy. Listen, their family's going through something right now. You pray for them. But he's a man of faith. Mike believed he was forgiven, and he was now going to heaven. Jesus said this in John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. It's the idea of don't be agitated. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Talking about the rapture. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is not our life. We're out of here. Don't keep looking at this life only. Have an eternal perspective when you're working, whatever you're doing. It won't last forever. The pain won't last forever. And if you stay focused on that, you know, like when you get sick or something happens, like when I cut my finger, I knew it was going to heal. Like I knew the outcome. Eventually, I'm just going to heal. I'll be fine. When you have that thing that, oh man, I'm going to have this for the rest of my life, it will depress you. You have to take your faith and put it in God's word. So not only believing in eternity and accepting Christ, but continually believing the word in all areas of your life. Jesus said this, Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? Without your father saying, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered? It's easy for me. Watch what he says. Fear ye not. So what is he saying? Have faith. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Now listen, if you're saved today, you're the child of God. God said, I'm going to take care of you until you get home. What parent in this place wouldn't do whatever they could to take care of their kid? Think about even in my life, look, I just sacrificed for my kids. One of the things my son said, even before he died, he says, Dad, thank you for all the sacrifices you made for us. Don't you think I'm a flawed man? I wasn't a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect husband. God, I'll take care of you. You have to believe that. Now, I always say this when I say that. We got to be a good steward of what he's given us, though, right? He's given us this. We can't be a bad steward of our finances, our health, and everything, and then say, God, oh, God, heal me. He's like, I already provided for you, but you've been wasting it. So they always go together, right? I can't be drinking and say, Lord, heal my liver. That doesn't work. There's that responsibility that we have, right? So there's confusion, there's control by fear, there's depression of the current situation, then there's a callous heart. Look at verse 12. He says, then he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went to the country. And you see this in Luke 24, the two walking to the road of Emmaus. And they went and told it unto the residue. Most believe that's the rest of the disciples except Thomas. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat and meat, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness. There's the word. There's that callousness of heart. So eventually when he appeared to them and said, man, you guys had a calloused heart. You were in unbelief before you seen me. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So they were told a second time. And they persisted in unbelief. So if you're here today, listen, and you're not born again, the Bible says you must be born again to enter the heaven. Maybe you've heard that before and you're saying, no, I don't want to hear this stuff anymore. Please, you have a callous heart. Soften your heart today and accept Christ. You may not hear it again. You may go in your car and this may be your last day. I don't know. Now, maybe you're a Christian And I want you to think about this. And your heart is hard towards God to some degree. Your faith is really weak. Oh, you say, I know the Bible. I'm not talking about whether you know the Bible. Faith, a daily life faith, is seen in how we treat one another, the hope that we have, the joy that we have, the long-suffering that we have. So we could say, oh, I have faith, but we're treating the people next to us horrible. You don't care about the lost souls. Your faith is weak. I'm just telling you, because I know I've been there. I know a bunch of knowledge. But I'm asking you today, is your faith strong? I'm going to show you how you're going to have strong faith in a minute, but I just want you to really think about this. Hosea 10:12 says this, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Now, the context is speaking to Israel of their unfaithfulness, but the principle is still there. He says, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. The hard ground, when you have hard ground, you've got to dig it up in order to plant. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So how we got to plow up our hearts through the word of God so it becomes tender again. Yeah. It's the only way. Let's stop being lukewarm Christians. And the only way that's going to happen now, there's only two ways your faith grow. It's not really hard. God doesn't make it complicated. It's two E's. I've preached this before. Exposure to the word. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I want to ask you how much you've been in the word this week. The less you've been in the word, the less your faith is going down. It's simple. You're in the word of lot, your faith is going up. You know what's been really helping me recently? I've just been memorizing scripture. I wake up now, I have scriptures next to me, and I just, the first thoughts, I just keep going. The other morning, that's all I did was, man, I tell you, I could win the world. I feel like I was, it's not me. So you got to expose yourself to the word and stop making excuses why you're not doing it. I was talking to somebody in college, like, I remember being in college. I go to this college and these kids, their mom and dad had so much money, they're paying for their college. I came in, I was doing refrigeration, smelled like oil coming in. I had barely any gas in my car. I got to get to school. I was going to Quinnipiac College to become a physical therapist. And I'm struggling. And it's like some days I was like, I don't have time to get in the word. I gotta work that. Lord, you know what? Don't do it. The days I spent time with God, things went great. So go back to that. Protect that. Maybe you got to stop watching TV till 1 in the morning and get up a half hour early. And what you put into your mind, what are you exposing in your mind? If it's the opposite of the word, your faith is going down. So expose yourself, and then we have to exercise, Hebrews 5:12, the word that we learned. Right? I can look at a bunch of weights, but until I pick them up and start exercising, my faith's not going to grow. You can know all about the word. Some of you know the word. I've seen people who are very knowledgeable in the word, but they weren't even treating their wife right. Their faith is weak. I don't care how much they know. So let me give you an example. If you come to Christ today, all your sins will be forgiven, and God will remove guilt. Guilt will destroy your life. But I know Christians who still struggle with guilt after they have confessed. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And they still don't believe that they're forgiven, and they carry this guilt, and that's leading them down. Listen, everyone in this room has done things wrong. You need to be forgiven, and you continually need to be forgiven. And other people want to hold it against you. That's on them. If you ask them to forgive you, and they don't, that's on them. But you got to believe that. I remember witnessing at the Green, a guy came off the bus and they gave him a track and he said, told him I was a pastor. He goes, you don't want me in your church. I just got out of prison because I murdered someone before. You know what I said to him? You're right. Did I say that? Of course not. I said, Moses was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. David was a murderer. And we're all murderers because Jesus said, if you have anger in your heart, you've committed murder already. I'm not saying physically it's different. I get it. And some people are not in this church today because they don't like certain people being here. Well, this ain't the church for you then. When I was on vacation, a former member was here and said, Pastor, one of the things that you did was, man, you reached everybody. I don't care what color of skin you have, what you have done. Matter of fact, the people who are being forgiven much, love much, they're the ones who will be sold out for Christ the most. I got to move forward. I got to keep going here. So exposure and exercising your gifts. So let me give you an example of someone not believing and someone believing. And it's the 12 spies that were sent in Numbers 13. The 10 said, man, there's giants in the land. There's walled cities. So in your life, you're looking, man, look at these circumstances. I don't think they're ever going to change. And then you had Caleb and Joshua. Watch. Numbers 13, 27 through 30. We'll throw it on the screen for you. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely a foe with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they said, wow, what God said was true. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They mean the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are able to overcome it. Numbers 14:8 says this, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us to this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. What? In unbelief. Neither fear ye the people of the land. See, when you fear man, you're in unbelief. We read that scripture before, right? For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So I say to us today, let's not be rebellious and live in unbelief, but walk daily in victory. Romans 4:20, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So watch that verse. When we're strong in faith, what are we doing? We're giving glory to God. When we're not giving glory, and that's the purpose we're created. Let me give you a quick illustration. I'm running out of time. You don't mind staying for another hour, right? So listen. Lynn and I, when we first got married, we live on South Main Street in Seymour. And we're in our apartment. It's probably, I don't know, like 9 o'clock. It's dark. All of a sudden, we hear, smash! So we go outside, and this guy hit this telephone pole. So we were the first ones there. We got out there, and the guy was obviously drinking. He got out of the car. You know, the police came, and what do? They made him walk the yellow line. And this guy was like, right? He was staggering because of alcohol was in his system. When we have unbelief, we stagger. Right? Unbelief makes us stagger, not walk a straight line. So when you and I don't believe in what the scriptures say, in whatever area of life, you're going to stagger. I don't care who you are. I don't care how wise you think you are. The word of God has been tested. It's proved. It's true, whether you believe it or not. You could say, I don't believe George Washington was the first president. He was. Right? So, this callous heart, let me quickly, I got to move on real quick now. The last one is the corruption of telling lies. So when you don't have faith, you're going to start believing lies and you're going to tell lies. So go to, really quick here, Matthew 28. This was the main part of the message. The end part's going to be quicker. Matthew 28. Look at verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, that was the guards. Remember, they had 10 to 30 Roman guards watching this tomb. As a matter of fact, the religious people are the ones that said, go do it. Because the disciples said he's going to rise from the dead. We don't want that to happen. Showed us the chief priest all the things that were done. So they were saying, look, the angels, the earthquake, all that stuff. When they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel with the Sanhedrin, and they, the Sanhedrin, gave them large money unto the soldiers, saying, here's what you're going to do. We're going to give you this money. We're going to bribe you. His disciples came by night. Tell them they stole the body while we slept. Come on, all the Roman soldiers were sleeping at the time? And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure him. We'll bribe him too. So they took the money. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. It's the love of money. Did as they were taught. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. They knew the resurrection happened, but they lied. They didn't want it. They were going to lose power and control. And they didn't want that. Now, I've preached many times on this day, the proof of the resurrection. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Let me give you four real quick ones. Disciples were hiding because of fear, and they couldn't steal the body. They denied Jesus while he was alive. Do you think they're going to steal the body when he's dead? Doesn't even make sense. The Roman soldiers, again, had that guard, 10 to 30 soldiers. And if they lost a prisoner, one of the ways they would take all their clothes off and they would burn them. Every Roman soldier would not lose a prisoner. I found this quote. Dr. George Curry, a student of Roman military discipline, wrote this. That fear of punishment produced flawless attention to duty, especially in the night watches. The empty tomb. When they went there, they saw the wrappings. They were totally intact, but like somebody was just gone. Now, if you stole something, you would unwrap that thing. The head was separate from the body. Like somebody just vanished. Again, you can look up all these scriptures. I'm just going very quick here. And the last one is the most convincing one. He appeared 11 times over 40 days. Acts 1 tells us that at 40-day period, he appeared 11 times. The first day, he appeared 5 times to people. Now remember, people say to me, prove, you know, scientifically that Jesus rose from the dead. I said a couple weeks ago, it's the wrong method. It's the legal method you prove things. Prove to me where you were yesterday. What are you going to do? You can get witnesses, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 500 people saw him at once. If I took 500 people and put them on a witness stand, and they had 6 minutes to testify, that'd be 50 hours of testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. We have a lawyer here. I think that would win. The proof of the resurrection is it's a done deal. Even historians who don't even believe that the resurrection happened. Knowing that it happened doesn't save you, right? You got to put your faith in Christ. But they say it happened. Let me give you a few quotes. E.M. Blacklock, a secular historian, said this. I claim to be an historian. My approach to classic historical, I tell you that the evidence of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ is better authenticated than most of the facts of ancient history. Another one I found, Professor Thomas Arnold from Oxford, he wrote the famous History of Rome, said this, I've been used for many years to study the histories of other times and examine and weight the evidence of those who have been written about them. I know of no one fact in history of mankind which is proved by better and fuller evidence of every sort to the understanding of a fair inquiry that the great sign which God had given to us that Christ died and rose again from the dead. Josh McDowell, who wrote More Than a Carpenter, he was asked, remember, he tried to prove Christ wrong, right? He went to college, he met this Christian girl, I'm going to show her she's stupid. And then he went, go read the book we have in the bookstore, we'll give it to you for free. It's called More Than a Carpenter. And so he started going to all the evidence, traveling around the country, around the world. And they asked him, why can't Christianity be refuted? And he said, I'm not able to explain away an event in history called the resurrection of Christ. Couldn't explain it. It happened. A skeptic, David Frederick Strauss, he says it's nonsense to believe in the swoon theory. Remember the swoon theory? Some teach that Jesus bled so much, he was totally exhausted, and he just fainted, and then he was revived. It's called the swoon theory. He says this, and this guy's he's a skeptic. It is impossible that a being who had stolen half dead out of the sepulcher, who crept around weak and ill, wanting medical treatment, who required bandages, strengthening, indulgence, who would still at last yield to his sufferings, could have given the disciples the impression he was a conqueror over death. He goes on to say, and the grave, he says, the prince of life. And he just goes on and talks about all this stuff. So let me talk about this in a minute, and then we'll end with, when you believe, what's going to happen to you, the changes. Now, there's three reasons why people reject in believing in Christ. The number one is pride. It's pride. The person that has pride will not humble themselves and say, I need a Savior. It's people who think they're good or they're righteous. Great example, Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14 says this, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went out the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and a religious person. The other was a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, saying, talking about the pride of the person, I thank God, I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I always thought that God weighs the good and the bad. Now, I'm not as bad as them. He goes on to say, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes all. So he's pride in his work. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified or declared righteous rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself, say, I'm a good person. I go to church. I've been baptized. Shall be abased. It means put down. And he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Here's the thing, please. If you're here today, I want you to humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I need Jesus. If you don't do that, one day you're going to bow the knee, but it's going to be too late. Because the Bible says, Philippians 2, 10, 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Everyone's going to say, Jesus is Lord someday. He is the Savior, the only Savior. Of things in heaven, right? The angels, believers are there. Things in the earth, people still living. Things under the earth, Satan, the demons, the unsaved. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you're going to do it. Please do it now so you can be saved and start living the abundant life. You can say, I can't wait to get out of here. I don't want to hear this stuff. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth will set you free. Everyone thinks I come to Jesus, all the fun's taken out of my life. It's the total opposite. It's the total opposite. You're free. You're free. I'm going to find it in money. I'm going to find it in a person. I'm going to find it in a place. You're never going to find it. It never ends. You're never going to be satisfied. It's a relationship with Christ. The next one is past heritage. So what I mean by that, let me give you a couple of scriptures. Philippians 3, 5 through 6 says this. Paul's talking. He said, I'm circumcised the eighth day. I was the stock of Israel. I'm not a proselyte. The tribe of Benjamin, that's where King Saul came from. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. I'm a full-blooded Jew. Touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. I was in the strongest sect. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching righteousness was in the law. I am blameless. So Paul was trusting in his heritage, right? His religious heritage. And this is hard. You know, a lot of countries that are in certain countries, Catholicism is very strong. It's like part of their culture. It's like tied. And it's like, wait, if I accept Jesus and turn away from religion, you're basically saying my parents didn't teach me right. It's kind of like a front to the parents. But here's the thing. When you learn the truth, you got to go to the truth. Your parents did the best they can. But now, like, you're sitting here today, you know how to get saved. It's not through this church. You're going to have to accept Christ yourself. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. So please do that today. And then the other one is popularity. And what I mean by that is people don't want to be rejected. Like, everybody wants to be accepted. That's why at school, people in 7th, 8th grade, teenagers, they do things to be accepted. And they go away from the truth. And even at work, right? You want to fit in. You know, there's the police officers here. Like, you got to stand up and say, well, I'm going to obey the law. And there's people that don't want to obey the law. And believe me, I love police officers. Of course, there's a bad police officer. There's a bad teacher. There's a bad preacher. But overall, they're good. They're trying to, you know, Romans 13, they're trying to punish the evil. And unfortunately, some of the things aren't happening because of the laws and the judges and whatever, the policies. Some of that needs to change because whatever man soweth, he should reap it. If you take away that principle, there's going to be crime all over the place. So no one likes rejection. So when you come to Christ, he says, you will suffer for me. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. But it's only temporary. But if you reject Christ, that suffering is eternal. It's the difference. You're not suffering because you're a murderer. You're in this life, we're suffering for Christ. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So let me end with this now. So that was kind of, if you don't believe, those things will be in your life. But here's if you do believe. Real quick. It's all right in this text. The first one is, a well of joy will flow from our hearts. Go back to chapter 28 and look at verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance, talking about one of the angels, was like as lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for the fear of them, the keepers, that was the guards, did shake. They became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, fear not ye. He's trying to increase their faith here. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. For I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and with what? Great joy. There, now we have a little change here. We have great joy. Listen, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Let me ask you, how's your joy this is your Christian walk? If it's low, then your faith is low. It's that simple. Don't say, you know, it's because of, you know, my kids, my wife, my this, my that. No. You believe in a lie. Because now your joy is going to be controlled by your circumstances. If it gets better, oh, I'm happy. I'm not happy. See, that quickly you see where your faith is all the time. Me too. One of the things, I love my wife. I don't try to promote her, but listen. One of the things she has is the joy of the Lord. People ask her, why are you so happy? And she says, because of Jesus. She doesn't say, because I have a great husband. She doesn't say, I have all the money in the bank. The second thing, I got to go quick. I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff. You know me, I way overstudy. We will witness to others about Christ. Look at the end of the verse. He says, and they did run to bring his disciples the word. Ah, now they want to go tell other people. One of the classic signs you're weak, your faith is weak when you're not telling anybody about Christ. You're just concerned about your own life, your little family, my comfort. I'm not saying you shouldn't be caring about your family, but it's all about me, all my happiness. Your faith is weak. It's that simple. It's that simple. Acts 4:18-20 says, and they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all. This is the early part of the church. Nor teach in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John answers unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than God, judge ye. For we cannot speak the things we have seen and heard. When you're on fire for God, you can't help but speak. Right? You have a first baby come. Let me tell you, well, I'm having a baby. I'm getting married. Maybe you love sports. You're a UConn, right? The UConn's in the Final Four. So listen, when you're, and you say, my witnessing right now is, I don't hardly tell anybody about Jesus. Then that tells me you're not in the Word. Go sit at Jesus' feet and just fill in His Word. Say, Lord, I'm surrendering. You work in me. And it doesn't mean you're going to go to the airport and sell flowers or go to Africa to be a missionary. It means wherever you are at work, you're going to start shining. Instead of complaining about everybody, you're going to start shining for Jesus. You're going to treat them right. The one thing, when Linda won the award for UNH as the Employee of the Year, is all of them said, she's so loving, she treats everybody the same. Even people that we disagree with their lifestyle. They were the ones clapping the most. Because we love everybody the same. We're not going to say what they do is right. Because the truth is sets people free. We can't compromise the truth. But we can be very loving in presenting the truth. All right, let me move on real quick here. Before I move on, I just want to tell you one quick story. When I went down to Florida this week, we went to Pradeep's house. He was a former deacon here. I missed him so much. We stayed overnight there. Some other people were supposed to come, but they didn't make it. We went from there, went to Atlanta for 5 days, saw my grandkids. Went there, we went down to the Bonillas, stayed over their house. And then I went to see George and Nancy. Then I went to see my sister because she lives in Florida. She's been begging me to go down there. So I went all the way down to Fort Lauderdale, just about 15 minutes away. And about 2 weeks ago, when I preached, a bunch of people raised their hand to get saved. And one of them was my sister. And so I knew I was going down there. I was like, Lord, I know I should have witnessed to her right there. I get it. I don't know if some of the other men were going to witness. I don't know who did it. But anyway, long story short, I go down there. I brought my flip chart. And I said, come here. Her husband's in the other room. He already professed Christ. He used to come to this church, but he had a lot of health problems. And I brought her into the room. Long story short, I shared the gospel with her. She professed Christ. And then I went on to tell her, your mother professed Christ. I led your grandmother to the Lord. I led your other daughter to the Lord. She doesn't know all of this. Because they're all, two of them are dead. And I said, I'm now going to be preaching to your other daughter. She goes, you know, she's going to be harder. I said, don't worry. God can open anybody's eyes. All right, so there's going to be a well of joy. We're going to witness. We want to come and worship him. Look at verse 9. It says, and they went on to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. If there's lack of worship in your life, you're like, I remember when I was lost. I grew up in Catholicism. And in Catholicism, I'm not against anybody, right? But they teach faith plus being good. You know, baptism as a baby, your confirmation. As you're doing those things, God's giving you grace. No, they're works. They do believe Jesus is God, by the way. But they believe faith plus works. The Bible says it's faith alone in Jesus. It's not faith plus works. Right? I used to just go there out of rote. Even when I was into bodybuilding, I had a friend. His mother said, you don't go to church. You're not staying in this house. He was my training partner. So every Sunday, we'd go to church. They actually asked me to because they saw me, giving the offering. I was actually taking, you know, I was lost. You know, those long baskets, you know, getting that offering. And then one day they put it in the basket and say, hey, you take it to the priest. I mean, I could have took all the money and stuffed it in my socks. And I mean, I didn't. I had the fear of God, believe me. And went back there. But I'll tell you today, I'm saved. And if you're saved, you should want to come here and worship God. You should be saying amen, praise God, singing with joy. If you come in here and you came here today like down and you're staying that way, something's wrong with your faith. I'm praying that this message, not because I'm preaching it, would really take a hold and we'll start reaching people and we'll stop being joy. We'd be glad to come to church. Not because of this preacher, because we have a risen Savior and all the promises. So I'm hoping it changes. I've been praying for revival. Let's change this. Let's fill this place up with souls pouring into people. Get into the Word this week. I'm telling you, we can't live this lukewarm Christianity because you're miserable and I'm miserable. We make everybody else miserable. And who wants that? Are we attractive to that? No. If you're walking around like this all the time, I don't want that. People look at us and they either see Christ or they don't. One of the things people always ask me to pray for, that I would die to myself and that I would people would see Christ in me. All right, last one. I'm sorry, I'm way over. Sorry in the nursery. I'll be done in a second. Revelation 20. Last one, you're taking notes. God will one day wipe away all the tears and sin and suffering. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You can go, I was going to turn there, but go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read that. Through Christ we have victory. I'll just end with this. And then one more scripture I'm going to quote. George Martin, he texted me this morning. I loved serving with you, Pastor, at Haven Rest. We had a lot of great time together. But right now, when he went down to Florida, he was an Uber driver. He needed witness to all these people. He was telling me about a prostitute. He was heading a car, and he said, you know, I love you, and here's the thing. And she goes, I haven't heard those words in 10 years. She started crying, told me all the stories. But today, he can't see it out of his right eye. He can't do those things. And I said, George, you're still just as strong in your faith. He asked the waiter when the waiter came up, we're going to pray right now. What can we pray for you? And then after that, he got up with all the tracks. He's going around all the people. It was awesome. So wherever you are in life, don't complain. Start being strong where you are and being the light wherever that is. Maybe you're not going to stand here or go to Africa, but wherever you are, if you're in a bed and you're sick, nurses and doctors are coming. The people take care. Share your faith. Treat them right. Right, nurses? Treat them right. John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and believe. Did you see Jesus physically? No, you haven't. But I'll tell you what, if you believe his word, you're going to be blessed. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. That's where I get that from. Your joy is attached to your belief of him, even though you haven't seen him. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It pays to serve God. Yeah. The payment is all here, though. Some of it's later. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word so much. This puny little preacher here trying to bring forth your word that's eternal. God, I pray they heard your words and not mine. Everybody with their head bowed, their eyes closed, you're here today. The first thing I always ask is, look, I care about you. I don't want you to pay for your sin. Because God is just and holy and someone's got to pay for it. I use extreme examples. If someone killed all your family members, would you say, oh, let's love the guy. He's okay. Let him go free. No, you'd want justice done. And God is the same way. Someone's got to pay for sin. Either you do or you accept Christ's payment. That's it. Your good works can't take away your sin. Nobody else can take away your sin. There's no purgatory. You can't light candles. You can't do anything. Only the blood of Jesus can take away your sin. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to turn from what you're trusting in. It's called repentance. And turn and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I can't get to heaven. But I thank you that you loved me so much. You came down in the person of Jesus Christ, God himself. And you did die. And it was silent on Saturday, but he rose on Sunday. He proved he was the Son of God. And now you can turn and accept him. And he'll take away all your sin, the guilt of sin, the shame. And the Holy Spirit will enter you, give you the power. This book will come alive to you. You will start enjoying love, joy, peace in the inner man, not the outside. I can't promise you that. So please, you're here today, no one looking around, say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know I'm really going to heaven, but I want to know. Is there anybody here at all? I won't call you out by name. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know. Anybody at all? Maybe you're, I see that hand, you can put it down. Anyone else? I see that hand, you can put it down. Father, pray for those two. Maybe there's others here. Maybe there's others watching. Today, they would understand that Jesus Christ died for them, and they would turn from their sin and what they're trusting in. And I know they need the power to turn from sin, but the idea is repenting, turning from what they're trusting in and turn to you. Please, may you show them that today, and they would be a child of God. The rest of us, all right, you're a believer here today. I hope I challenged you. I've challenged myself. You see, I thought I really had strong faith. And then I started listing all those things, and I was like, whoa, my faith isn't as strong as I thought it was. Because I just thought it's a bunch of Bible knowledge. Nope. It's seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So I pray today that you make determination that no person, no place, no job, nothing is going to come before you sitting at the feet of Jesus every day and exposing yourself to the Word of God and memorizing the Word. And bring it up. Remember, he says, resist the devil and he will flee. Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Spend more time with the Word of God than any other thing. Put it all away to some degree. If you're on Facebook, you're on social media 2 hours a day, I say, get in the Bible 2 hours and spend the 5 minutes that you were in the Scriptures. Just switch the time. You become a spiritual giant. It's all the glory goes to God. He'll start using you. You'll be happier. And God will use you to reach many and to help many. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Happy Resurrection Day. God bless you. Lord willing, I'll see you next week.